Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Absolutely awesome. The discussion that I was going to have with Glynis Breytenbach is, will Jacob Zuma see the inside of a prison cell? And yet here we are, the morning after, the night before, and he spent the night in custody. Glynis Breytenbach, how are you feeling this morning?
Hi, good morning to you and everybody. I'm feeling exceptionally relieved, because if this had not happened, Zuma had not been arrested or handed himself over, whichever is the case, we would have been in our constitutional democracy would have been in serious trouble. It would have meant that the rule of law was no longer, and that there was no law and order in this country. It was a very serious situation. We were teetering on the brink.
I also felt that, yeah, we were really at the precipice, because if this didn't happen, well, then where to from there?
Yeah, I'm terribly relieved. Where to from there is too ghastly to contemplate. Is that it really means that there's no law and order in South Africa. It means that South Africans could do entirely as they please, and there could really be no consequences, because there's no one to enforce it. If the law enforcement agencies refuse to carry out an order of the highest court in this country, it's really a coup by stealth, and we were in serious trouble, and I think most South Africans realize it, and I think everybody was very, very apprehensive. So I'm very happy that either he handed himself over, although...
What is the difference? I'm a bit confused by some of the things saying he handed himself over. Some people saying, well, he's... You know, what does it mean he handed himself over? Didn't they drive all the way to Nkandla to arrest him? Sorry, Glynis, I think there's some... I don't know if you're standing in an area where there's a bit of wind in the background.
I am. Sorry, I'm walking my dogs and there is a bit of wind.
All right. Okay, now it's a bit better.
Okay, I'm trying to stand in a quieter spot.
Yeah, you got it. You found the spot. Look, that's cool.
Handing himself over is being unnecessarily kind.
I also think
he had run out of tarmac completely. There was nothing left. He either meekly got into his car and went to the nearest prison, or he was going to be bundled into a police vehicle and taken to the nearest prison. So he had no choices, and handing himself over is putting too fine a point on it. Zuma has brought this country many, many times to the brink of a constitutional disaster, many times. He has never put this country first. He has never put the people of this country first. And he, again, yesterday, did not put anybody but himself first. He's a narcissistic megalomaniac. He allowed us to come to the brink again of... He caused such a lot of trouble, a huge amount of expense. He was supposed to hand himself over on Sunday. He again thumbed his nose at the Constitutional Court and did not do it. Tried every last ditch effort to keep himself out of prison, despite saying, I'm not afraid to serve jail time, many times. So he had no choice. If he had not climbed into his little car and gone to the nearest prison, he would have been taken there. So in effect, he was arrested. Because he is who he is, he got special treatment, which is not really acceptable, but kudos to the police for not allowing the situation to develop into a gun battle where people were injured or even worse, you know, died. And that's also their job. It's also their job to make sure that, you know, situations don't get out of control, that people are not injured or killed. So given the circumstances, it was a very slow process, I think unnecessarily prolonged. But you know, thankfully nobody was injured, nobody was killed, and the end result is a good one. So... despite the fact that you or I would not have been treated in that fashion, he's in jail now, and frankly, that's where he belongs.
Well, I just want to shift there a little bit, because you certainly were not treated in that fashion. And although you are recounting this from a fairly, maybe objective perspective, personally, your life was made hell by this regime.
Yes, that is absolutely so. They certainly tried their very best. You know, fortunately, I spent my entire adult life in the criminal justice system. I know how it works, and I must say that I never ever lost faith in the criminal justice system.
Which is incredible.
So I was never particularly worried. I knew that I was innocent, and I fully believed that the courts would vindicate me, and they did.
And they did. What was your thoughts around Dalem Pofu's threat that another Marikana could be unleashed or happen if Jacob Zuma went to prison?
Look, Dolly's behavior over the last while has been troublesome, let's say worrying,
why are you being so polite this morning?
I'm being very polite.
No, listen, look at you. Wow.
I'm being very polite. You know, his behavior in court a while ago where he told a colleague to shut up.
Absolutely.
You know, totally unacceptable, unheard of in a court, milieu. You don't behave like that. The disrespect is, you know,
astounding.
Gobsmacking. Mm, mm. The unveiled threat that he made, was he made more than once and in more than one fashion, about how the situation could and would develop if Zuma was arrested. Totally unacceptable. Beyond the pale for a legal representative. That's not your job. As a legal representative, that is just so far beyond what you're supposed to do. Self-appointed sort of spokesperson and scenario manager for Zuma. Really shocking, a senior silk at the Johannesburg bar, behaving in that fashion. Very, very disappointing. Certainly not worthy of any admiration, no.
Can he be taken to task for that?
Well, I suppose that he could be, and perhaps he should be.
Mm.
Then again, the JSC has not covered itself in glory.
No.
Dealing with judges, and members of the bar have behaved in much worse fashions than Dolly is now behaving, nothing has happened because, you know, it appears that discipline is an old-fashioned thing, and nobody cares about it anymore. Discipline is what makes the world go round. You know, people think it's money, it's not discipline that makes the world go round. And court discipline and in the legal profession, discipline is of vital importance. So, you know, all I can say is that, you know, we should really enforce discipline. We should enforce integrity. We should enforce the old-fashioned concept of honor. And that's what makes the legal profession a profession.
Absolutely. The fact is that Jacob Zuma is now in custody. He'll serve however much of this 15 months he serves. I'm not sure that is that relevant, whether it's 5 months or 10 months. Maybe I'm missing something. But what does this mean to his power base now? Does this signify, in your view, a power shift?
Most certainly it signifies a power shift. It does not, as I suppose people will start saying, signify a power shift to the good ANC, because, you know, in my view, there is no good ANC. The ANC is ANC and it's corrupt and rotten. And I'm not saying that because I'm a member of the opposition party. I'm saying that because I've observed them in action over the last 25 years in government. So, you know, there can be no doubt in any South African's mind that there is no good ANC. A power shift, yes. A power shift towards the people of South Africa, a power shift towards a constitutional democracy that demonstrates that our constitution is holding yet again. You know, the doomsayers and naysayers, our constitution again has come through. Held firm, it's rescued us from a terrible situation, and again the constitutional court has won this battle. So long may that continue.
What happened?
But there certainly is a power shift towards constitutionality and away from populism, yes.
And in terms of the Zuma faction, let's say within the ANC, and I happen to agree with you, I don't think that there's this good ANC, bad ANC, but there is a group of supporters that he does have within the ANC. What happens to them now?
Certainly, he has a very large group of supporters in the ANC. The entire so-called RET faction is a Zuma faction.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to them is their power is, their credibility, their patronage is being eroded. So their ability to steal billions and buy position is being eroded, largely because there's nothing left to steal.
Mm.
And without the ability to buy a position, without the ability to buy influence, they will be shown up to have not feet of clay, but clay right up to the bottoms of their ears.
What do you make of Cyril Ramaphosa's silence over the last week or so when we really needed him? To me, it felt on Sunday that we were just in the most terrible situation, looking for leadership where there was none.
Well, absolutely. There was, you know, we were in effect leaderless. Mr. Ramaphosa always disappears as soon as the going gets tough, you know. This was a serious, unless he failed to recognize it, which I seriously doubt, unless he failed to recognize the seriousness of the situation, the constitutional precipice on which this country and the future of every single person in this country heated for 3 or 4 days, I would have expected a leader of any kind of ability to at least step up to the plate, have a conversation, tell us what the views of his government are. And of course, the National Executive Committee did issue a statement saying they're not seeking a political solution. Well, you know, mazel tov, that in a constitutional democracy, there are no political solutions to be sought. But they did say it, that they, you know, not going to interfere, that the law must take its course. Yes, all of those things are well said. But in a constitutional democracy, those things are sine qua non. You know, they go without saying. So, yes, they said it. The fact of the matter is we have a constitution, and the constitution rules us all equally. So I would have expected Mr. Ramaphosa to at least be visible. And as the head of the cabinet, not so much, but certainly as the head of the ANC, to tell Jacob Zuma to
comply,
get his act together and get his backside into jail.
Absolutely. What was also equally fascinating for me was the EFF silence. You know, we've had them walking out of Parliament I don't know how many times because of Jacob Zuma's corruption. And yet they've gone very, very quiet around this. And we see the Dalimpofu situation. Something's looking a little bit strange there, isn't it?
Well, you know, Mpofu, when he's not bringing sort of frowning faces to the legal profession, he's also had his moonlighting job as a senior member of the EFF.
So correct.
The EFF are not going to gainsay anything or naysay anything he says. Certainly they're not going to be heard there. But they, I mean, the EFF have become really, in the time of COVID, largely irrelevant. Their inability to function in a virtual sort of society is very apparent. And the fact that they chose to sequester themselves in terms of luxury in Sandton as opposed to getting on with life is telling. But also, of course, they can't say a lot about Jacob Zuma should go to jail because he's been, you know, found guilty. They, there's the VBS thing looming large for all of them. I think they're, you know, a little worried about that. So be a bit hypocritical, although, you know, that's also not something that they avoid.
Yeah, it's never stopped before.
So, you know, to shout for him to go to jail and then when their time comes, which it surely will, you know, then they also don't want to go. So I think the whole concept of people going to jail right now is for them a subject that they'd rather avoid completely.
Right, maybe just a little bit uncomfortable. Glynis Breytenbach, former prosecutor for the NPA of South Africa and a member of Parliament for the Democratic Alliance, thank you for speaking to us and thank you for all the work that you do and have done in the past.